just finish roll call, you want to sound off, Shell?
Shell, here.
All right. We'll begin with approval of the minutes from the February 2nd meeting. A lot of minutes. Give me a second to look those over if you haven't had an opportunity to already.
Well, I'll let you down because I didn't see that they were attached to the email, so I had to just read them. So I won't be catching any typos today.
Well, my name's Miss Full.
Oh.
I kind of like it, though.
What page, Shell?
Two.
Yeah, what page, Shell?
Did I just say Sheila?
No,
okay. Oh, I can see it on that bullet there, the L. Okay.
Kept secrets in the Camas Washougal area, and that's Two Rivers Heritage Museum. Our museum is located across the parking lot from the Pendleton Woolen Mill. So if you get to the Pendleton Woolen Mill, look to the west, you see our museum. The first meeting of the Society, Washougal, Camas Washougal Historical Society, was held in 1979 when a couple ladies went to a fire. One of the buildings had burned down in the town, and they were around picking up artifacts, pieces, and they decided this ought to be somebody organized the history of our area. So that's how it got started. The first museum meeting was held in the basement of the Camas Library in 1981. And we moved to our present location where we are right now in 1996. It's interesting to note that our first treasury report that they were very proud of, and that stated they had $560 in the treasury. So we started out pretty small. I'd like to read the mission of the Camas Washougal Historical Society to give you an idea of what our aims and kind of our goals are. The purpose of the society is to solicit, receive, assemble, collect, research, preserve, and make available for the present and future public historical data, information, oral histories, artifacts, documents and photographs that tell the story of the history and development of the Camas Washougal area. The society is to operate and maintain the Two Rivers Heritage Museum at number 1 Durgan Street in Washougal. And set libraries and archives and carry out other activities that may be necessary or desirable to display and preserve accessions. We are funded through membership, donations, and small investment fund. We've received no funding from any tax funds or government agencies. Our staffing is all volunteer, and we have no paid employees. In 2015, we had recorded 4,652 volunteer hours. Now, I don't know how many hours were not recorded, because the efforts of our volunteers continue on at home, where they do search, come down, they sign in for a couple hours, they go home and work for a couple hours. So I might say you could almost double those hours for the actual volunteer hours. Our goals are those that we are able to fund after we pay our everyday bills, such as city services, power, insurance. A sample of our goals for 2016 are these are what Richard and the fast thread that the board gathered up for this year. One of our things is a carriage house display. We'd like to improve it. We create a diorama showing some more things in our carriage house. Landscape improvement. We're thinking about some landscaping improvement to the outside of the building, make it more attractive. More training sessions for our docents so they can conduct proper tours to the people that come through. We're looking for a director. Very much looking for a director. So far, we've been without a director for how many years now?
4 years.
And the president of the board, Richard, has been acting as our director. And I suppose it's going to fall upon me to act as director also, with your help. Thank you. Future display rooms. Administrative printing. City association fees, advertising costs, and regional outreach campaigns. So far, our total goals for the year run about $9,495, which is a very small amount of money when you consider everything. But we're limited to what we bring in through admissions and our investments. What do we offer the community? I'll give you an idea of one of the things that we offer offer the community. And one of these is a guided tour by knowledgeable docents. You come to our museum, and it's been the policy to have guided tours for everyone that comes through. We have an extensive collection of Native American artifacts, including baskets, arrowhead collections, and stone tools. We have interesting displays of historical pieces representing all facets of local life, business, and industry. More than 6,000 historic photographs and 200 oral recorded histories by longtime residents. This has been one of the museum's finest projects, I think, the oral histories. Interviewing the old-timers, getting them on tape, listening to their stories of what it was like 50, 60 years, 80 years ago. We have collections of news clippings and photographs organized by files, extensive settler records, including donation land claims, homesteading information, and area maps. Our new carriage house features local industry and blacksmith exhibits, covered wagons, buggies, and sleigh, and more. Our museum store features items such as history books by local authors, photocards, Native American and local crafts, and woven rugs created on the museum loom. The last item on the list is our guided tours. At this time, I would like to offer your committee a free guided tour of our museum. You can schedule at your convenience. Check with Lois. That's her job as part of the volunteer coordinator. Our hours of operation are 11 to 3, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Special tours by appointments. And we're reopening on March 3rd. Specialty events include our annual plant sales, 2 days, one in May, one in June, and our annual Heritage Day program, where we have our hot dogs, our root beer floats, our ice cream social, free admission. We have vendors, have demonstrations of equipment, old-time equipment, pumps, electricity, and some of the old one-lung pump machines. So we have quite a display on our Heritage Day. What are our present needs? We've been operating with a director for 3 years, and we need to find one who's going to work as a volunteer to give us the direction we need. We also present to the membership a quarterly meeting and are always looking for speakers for these meetings. We have a quarterly meeting coming up pretty soon, I think, don't we?
April.
And it's going to be somebody from McLaughlin?
Yeah, from McLaughlin House.
From the McLaughlin House. Mm-hmm. And these meetings are held at the Camas Police Station. And we have 45, 50 people attend these quarterly meetings. Our long-range goals would be to enlarge the museum to accommodate our vast store of artifacts. When you take a tour through our museum, you see a lot of artifacts. But you have to realize that below that floor, we have a full basement that's stacked to the ceiling. Right at the present time, we're not taking any more donations. We just have too many. And we're going through the process of deaccessioning, determining which ones we want to keep, which ones we want to donate, which ones we want to get rid of, which ones we can't get rid of because they're not donated, but they're, what would you call them? Well, we can't get rid of them, put it that way. They're donated on a permanent basis. So a couple of our people, very dedicated members, have been going through this deaccessioning program, and I believe it's been quite a project. And what the other thing we'd like to improve, our Native American display. We have a young lady that worked and has redone our basket display, Donna Martinez. Excellent job. She's made the front entrance to our museum very, very, very attractive. But here we are limited. Down in the basement we have more artifacts that can be brought up, but cannot display. Beyond that, I don't have much more to explain to you, tell you about our museum. I brought Dix here, can answer a lot of questions. Lois can answer questions on the volunteers. I have here, I can find, okay, here is a couple applications for a group tours. Okay. And we would be very glad to have you set up for tours for your group, free admission, anytime, coordinated with the volunteer here, and come up and visit us.
Do you guys have an email list? Do you send out?
Yes.
Emails, like, to join up?
We have a website. You can go and submit requests and emails and search the site, and it'll link you to different activities and information. It also links you to our Facebook page.
I think our website is numeral two.
Two Rivers will get you there. Right?
Yeah. RHM. Two Rivers, two RHM.org.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that I have a collection down in that basement. From about 14 years ago.
Yeah. Were you
from the Junctivard Middle School?
Well, you're pretty much familiar with it.
Yeah, and I think I'll be taking it off your hands, actually, because the work at Junctivard is requiring me to get that collection up to
copy
the
of our latest news.
What is it?
It's a collection of Native American artifacts, but they're not really display worthy. They're mostly the chips for making stone tools.
Okay.
And back in those days, we were allowed to curate those collections at local museums, and that policy has changed now.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of segues into whether the museum has looked into getting, because Washington State now has a certification program to house collections that are collected during archaeological excavations under a permit.
A lot of times that's what they are. The problem with us, when they do, yes, we have a lot of them. When they do come to the museum, though, they don't have a story for us.
Right.
We're not, they don't leave stories with them. So we just house them. And it's really kind of unfair because of our room, our constraints, and as much as we like to have the story behind them, so that we can tell people, you're looking at a bowl that was 4,000 years old and tells that story. Because we're all about stories.
Yeah, I mean, if it's collected under a permit, there should be a report that goes with that collection, and that report should have an artifact catalog and everything that will.
I don't know that I've ever seen a report of the artifacts.
That was
the Junctivard School. That Junctivard might have a report along with it, but there's some others down there from other digs, and Camus is a big one.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything. But anyway.
Well, I can always get you reports if you want for those collections, because I would have access to them. So.
I'd like to speak briefly about the significance of the site. My involvement, so not too long, about 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years, whatever it's been, but
the significance of the site is quite incredible when you start telling this story to people. I mean, Lewis and Clark camped for 6 days at a stone's throw from this location. At that location, they were trading with the Native Americans to get supplies to go back. And one of them came from the Big River on the other side, and Clark said, "What Big River?" And they didn't know, and they had missed it going in Cutter, and they missed the Willamette River. So it was from Longshoot. I thought they should have named us Willamette. But anyway, things, stories like that, and our museum sits on the southwest corner of a deeded land claim that was deeded to a Richard Howell, who was a seaman working for Hudson's Bay Company. And he later met and married a Native American chief's daughter named Princess White Wing. And that lineage from Richard Owl and this Homestead Act and that lineage from Princess White Wing has followed us all. We have a collection of her great-granddaughters. I think gave it to us. Her great-granddaughter gave us a collection of White Wing's baskets in our Native American display. So we make that circle and we tell that story. It's a good story. And our curator of the baskets has studied it a lot and has it really documented really well. It's really a good story. So we have a lot of stories like that that are really, really rich and really... And small museums are very challenged right now, as are big museums. The internet's killing everybody, you know that. So I always feel like our challenge is to find a way to put into policy a legacy we can hand to the next generation, because they're going to use their iPhone to do whatever they want or whatever the next thing is. And it's really hard for me to believe that a 15-year-old today will take an interest in that museum down the road somewhere. I mean, that's really hard. That's a stretch. So I fear that it might end up being lost. It's a hard thing to maintain with all volunteers. Very hard. Like Jim said, the hours that it takes, the cost. If we had, we've had a couple of donations from funds from different people that were wisely invested at the time, and we have actually dedicated those funds and a percentage of the earnings from those funds to help supplement the cost. We need about 50% of our cost to come out of those funds annually, and that's a stretch in today's earnings. From you guys have looked at your portfolio lately, and you're in the stocks and bonds, it's not so good. So we have to work hard at our events to keep solvent. So we're like anybody else, we're all kind of in the same boat, I know that, but I think Jim's right. If we could find a way to, and I don't know if we're going to get lucky enough to find a volunteer director for 3 to 4 days a week, 4 hours a day, someone who can guide a progression of progress footsteps, you know. We need someone with skills that had knowledge of what it takes to run a small museum. You're asking, I'm a fish farmer by trade. I was with Fish and Wildlife for 37 years. I like antiques, but I didn't know nothing about museums until I walked in the door, so it's really kind of a stretch when you just open the door to volunteers. Their skills and abilities is how you live and die, and it's, if you can have one small part of a paid professional that you have a job description for, you say you have to have these skills, that would make a huge difference for us. So, and I don't know that there's ever a grant that's going to allow us to do that, but we sure like to find one.
What started this whole thing was an article in one of the newsletters from one of the other museums in town, which said that the museum was awarded $7,000 for historical promotion grants. Well, naturally, that caught my eye, and so I got on the computer and I dialed up, got a hold of Jackie and explained what it was. The first thing, she sent me back some information, and I sent her some information, and so here we are. As far as grant money, we really haven't put up any, we don't really have at this time any things we need grant money for, because we really haven't looked into the procurement funds. But one of the things that's been talked about at the museum is that we have three old, very old musical instruments. We have a piano that came around the horn on the clipper ship in 1890. It was manufactured in 1860, Aaron's piano. We have a player piano we'd like to have redone. And we have an organ which we just recently acquired, which we'd like to have updated. So the monies that we're looking for on that particular, on that type of grant, would be to improve the artifacts that we have. increase their value and make them usable so when people come through the museum, the piano can be played, the player piano can be played, and they can see how they actually work. Another thing we've been thinking about doing is we're going to have a meeting with a landscaping architect, or landscaper, I don't know exactly what he is,
designer,
about the south side of our building, doing something with it to make it more attractive. So we don't know what to expect from that. We don't know whether it will be gardening improvements, lawn improvements, or whether they're going to build porch. Richard was talking about, what were you talking about, Mike, you'd have to improve out there?
We talked about some kind of a small stage with some seating that would fit the landscape design correctly for a storytelling to take place. We really have no venue for storytelling. I mean, the museum, like Jim says, is stuffed full. There's nowhere in there to sit 20 people. And during our events, you know, we could have two or three events that are for funds that we could have a guided or an invited guest to speak. I think that would be a great venue for that spot if we could create it tastefully and then find the funds to build it.
So this is the type of thing we're looking for right now. We aren't looking for huge grants to buy property or huge grants to build a new building or rebuild a parking lot or something. It's just stuff to maintain what we have, improve what we have, and then in the future, if things change, maybe bigger projects, better projects, I don't know. The last project, I guess, was our carriage house, which was funded by the Clark County... Clark County Commissioners.
And
we had funds to build a carriage house to store all our buggies and our blacksmith display and our tool display. So at this time, we're kind of looking at all this. We don't know quite what direction to go yet.
You don't have a priority yet.
You haven't
prioritized the list yet.
Have any of you written grants before?
Yes.
They're not simple. Some grantors require quite a bit, and they have to be kind of professional in order to compete. And they have to be followed, and they have to be reported on. And when a volunteer sits at the table and gives you a really good idea, ideas are pretty cheap. Who's going to do it? It's always where the rubber meets the road that we have to follow. Who's going to follow that through? Same way with our board members. We need more board members that have skills that... And we don't want to be picky about it, but we'd really like to see someone come in that can actually add to the skill level of the group. It's kind of hard. You need professionals to do that kind of work.
The lifeblood of our museum is our volunteers. And, Ann, would you like to say something about your volunteer group? You lead the herd.
She puts in thousands of hours keeping the doors open.
We have about 33 volunteers at this time. And we, up until now, have been open 5 days a week. We've cut back to three because just shortage of volunteers, and then also the fact that the visitors, we didn't really have enough visitors to justify being open 5 days a week. So this is going to help us a lot as far as the volunteers are concerned.
Takes two a day. Two at a time.
Well, thank you for the wonderful presentation. I don't know, Jim, when you reached out to Jackie, how much she told you about the meeting and the invitation that we extended this evening, but we're at a point where we are looking at our biannual budget, and trying to decide what we're going to do. So the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission is one of the few public volunteer commissions that actually has a budget. It's not large, but we do have some funds. And so we go through much the same process that you do, where we try to prioritize the resources that we have. And we categorize those in terms of what the needs are, but we tend to find that there's also some flexibility to support some good causes within the community, right? Whether it be events at Fort Vancouver or the Clark County Heritage Museum up the road here. And what we've talked about and what I think we're trying to finally do is reach out and be a little bit more proactive and embracing of kind of the greater Clark County, conscientious of having some kind of a stigma of maybe being a little too Vancouver-centric. So we're delighted to have you here tonight. It was a great presentation. I'm sure we have a number of questions for you. I certainly have some that I'd like to share. And then based on the conversations and the deliberations that we're going to have later in the evening as we talk about the funds that we have to expend, we might be able to help. So we're not really in a grant-making position, but you know, we can help any way we can. And
I certainly hope you can take the time to come down. You know, a bunch of us would meet with you and areas of expertise.
I would
love to show you, because it's hard to appreciate until you get in this place. And when you look at it, it looks like an old home. When you get in there, you've got more, more. You just keep saying more. It really comes alive. We'd love to show you.
Great. Thank you.
I think one of the important things about a meeting like this is for us to find out what the procedures are. How do we start? What do we present to you? What do you need? So that we can get started on our end to get on board with the process. So,
well, I think the questions are, and I'm going to open this up to the group, feel free to jump in, you know, ways that we can work together, maybe help promote your cause. Obviously, we're not in a position to give large grants or anything like that, but we can do sponsorships or, you know, group memberships, as we do with a couple of organizations, for example, the Architectural Heritage Committee down in Portland. So we participate in those types of ways.
I guess in terms of a grant writer, you know, if it was possible for you to sit down and put some prioritization to your wish list, in the sense that the next time the grant's open for a project, you might have a couple that are actually ready to go. You know, like you're repairing of an artifact, you know, to actually ask someone for a bid so that you have a bid and you already have an amount ready to go. That's because when I was on the committee to review the grants this year, and they weren't actually that technical, you know, volunteer organizations were writing them themselves too. So really what we were just looking for was, you know, the actual bid for getting it fixed, and then how much matching volunteer hours of labor you had to put into the project, possibly those sorts of things. And so everything you guys have said to me just rings as like, this would have been perfect. You guys could have asked for something just like that if you were ready to go with it.
That gives me great hope, because I worked with Alicia Topper on a grant for Columbia Springs at Waterville. The permitting and the design work just ate that budget alive. It was hard.
Yeah, I think when that cycle comes up again, you could definitely contact.
Is that every 2 years that one comes up?
We try to do it every year. It depends, because it's a recording document charge. $1 of every recorded document gets put into this kitty. So there's been years where they've decided not to wait till for it to grow more, so we've taken a year off. But it looks like we'll probably have a program this coming year. So the applications usually go out in the spring or early summer. And I've got Jim on my list, so I'll definitely, he'll be getting the information for that. And the grant applications are usually due in September.
Okay.
And they're not too complicated.
No, they're
trying to make it pretty simple.
Yeah, they're pretty.
And the reporting on this one is very simple.
Is it?
Yes.
You just turn in a final report with, if you've restored an artifact, photos, and then any invoices for the money you spent.
Didn't mention, but we received the Beals Memorial Grant for just a fourth year. Mm-hmm. Looks like we may get it again at a reduced amount, because I guess the trust has suffered from the economic slowdown. So, but that has been a godsend. We've done a lot of great maintenance.
Those funds are designated from the Beals Fund, are designated for general improvement. And like this last year, we put all new flooring in. I don't know what we did the year before with it.
Yeah, we painted the building. We did a lot of
painting the building.
It has some good maintenance.
So the Beals Fund is more or less designated for, and it also is has to be spent for this item. Sure. It cannot be saved or put into a fund. So we have to schedule what we're going to do with that as far as billing and improvement.
Can I ask you guys to tell us a little bit more about your the annual Heritage Day, when that is, and kind of what goes on with that?
Get my book out. I don't think anyone can remember. We have set a date.
I can agree with you.
September 13th.
Oh, it's in the newsletter. Okay. Oh, there it is. So.
It's in September.
So tell us about that. And what's that event all about? What does it entail for you all?
The celebration is, the main idea is to get local people to come see our museum, because like we said, we're the best kept secret around.
Mm-hmm.
That so it does bring a lot of our local people in. It's free admission to the museum that day. We have an ice cream social, which is hot dogs and root beer floats and ice cream sundaes.
Better than Costco.
Yeah.
And we're getting a lot of vendors that are coming in now, setting up displays and selling on the streets.
We don't charge the vendors to come in. We just ask that that they provide their own tables. And this year we're going to require that they have umbrellas or something for coverage, because sometimes it's really hot out there.
The blacksmith from Fort Vancouver has been coming out and putting on a display for us too. He fires up his forge and makes items for people to come in and watch him how he does it.
You know, we have a complete working blacksmith shop. So
we don't make very much money on Heritage Day, but people have a lot of fun and get a lot of visitors through.
Sounds like we had about 200 last year.
Had a great day.
A couple hundred hot dogs were sold, and I think a lot of ice cream.
A lot of ice cream. I think we served 20 gallons of ice cream at least.
Yeah.
About 250 hot dogs.
I think
we have a great time.
Sounds like a fun day.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do we link to the Two Rivers Museum?
We.
Off of our website as well.
You know what, I think we used to, but now with the new website, I got to double check, because a lot of our side links didn't transfer over, but I will do that, and I'll double check.
We also have a wonderful plant fair, and it's perennials. When spring comes and they have extra plants, they bring them to us, or sometimes we go and get them and pot them. So we have really nice, hardy plants, because they are local grown in our climate, and at very reasonable prices. So,
Good to know. Those are scheduled. That's the only place you could be able to buy a can this little bit.
And don't forget the tour. If any time you want to set up a tour, it's still on the board.
Okay. Well, we will.
It doesn't have to be on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. We can make tours whenever at your convenience, anytime during the week. Just let us know, so we can have people there to guide you through the tour.
And, have you set up any liaisons with the schools? I was at Camas High School yesterday and was stunned by the size of the new campus.
Yeah.
And I would call like a history teacher and the music teacher.
Well, we've done in the past, and in the most recent years, the busing has just been impossible to get. We do have some 5th and 6th graders, some gods.
Second graders.
Second graders.
And Hathaway's close enough that they can walk to the museum. Mm-hmm. So we have about 100 children that go through.
Nice.
And we split them up into different groups and kind of stagger them. They'll come with 45 minutes apart so we can get them all through.
But, I always dreamed about developing partnerships with Camas and Washougal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within each district, with a vice principal in charge of it or something, but a communication partnership where we could actually come to the classroom, or they could come to the museum to do specific things.
Well, because the kids are under a lot of pressure to have a certain number of service hours for scholarship committees to be impressed with. So I would think if you would call and talk to their school counselor, we go through this. My son goes to River, And they have to come up with a huge number of service hours, and they could come down and help after your landscape designer, you know, figures out what direction you need to go in.
We've had some good Eagle Scout projects.
We've just been put on the Columbia Gorge tour guide. One of our volunteers got us on that list. If you look at the map showing the places to see in the Columbia River Gorge, we're number 20 down in the corner.
That's the new, it's the centennial celebration of the loop. Thanks. We are in the loop.
Well, the high school kids could drive themselves, so that takes up the bus problem.
Yeah.
And the middle school kids, the way we got around it was we just asked some parents to drive.
Yeah.
And that's how you get out of the insurance question, because it's always down to insurance.
Yeah.
With schools. So
finance.
That would really work.
We just had the Columbian reporter and photographer out. That was Monday. And took them through a tour through the museum. And they said they probably would have an article in the Columbian Thursday. They were scheduled to publish Thursday. So pick up Thursday's Columbian, maybe find out some more information.
We have one room that we used to call it the rotating display room, and it's actually it's kind of a theme room now. We leave it longer, probably a year at a time at least, but we just completed it this year, and it's changed from textiles to schools, one-room schoolhouse. So we've tried to set up a one-room schoolhouse there, and it's really fun. It's really cool. We have a lot of nice photographs of the old original schools, a lot of them, and we have a lot of school records. We have a lot of albums and things going. You know, if you wanted to do research on 1953, where your dad was playing basketball, we probably got a picture of it.
Interesting.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I would kind of run over here what Sarah said about the grant process. I was probably a little bit misspoken in saying that we don't have grant making power. That's new.
Right. And it's a recommendation.
We form a subcommittee, or we work together as a commission, and we make a recommendation for the dispersal of those funds.
Right. So the promotion group.
Right.
We don't really have grant making funds ourselves, but yeah, we do have some influence over how those get used.
It's important that we establish communications. That's how everything gets solved.
That's right.
Communicate back and forth and let each other know what's going on. It's the betterment of both organizations.
Definitely. Well, thank you for visiting us.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate
yes,
it
yes.
Thank you.
We'll get in touch about setting up that tour then. Great.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Just wanted to kind of, you know, check back in for the, is that next Tuesday? No, a week from next Tuesday.
March
right?
15th.
Yeah. I think everyone but Shell is on the list. Did you sign up for that one?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sign up for which
one? The Tacoma one. Did you get in touch with Jan about
no,
the?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I do want to go to the one in Lake Chelan.
Okay.
When is the Tacoma one?
It's March 15th, and I think registration's closed.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It didn't make my calendar, so...
Okay.
But the Lake Chelan, I'd like to sign you.
Okay. All right.
You guys should sign up together.
Yeah.
So did we get a two-for-one? Did you already...
Robert and I.
Cool. All right. Okay. Okay.
So Sarah and I, are we going to do a two-for-one then?
Sure.
Yeah. Just have Carrie register.
And Rock, you can still go. we can still afford it.
So Carrie, if you need the registration, then I don't have to sign it up.
You just contact her and tell her that she's registering both of you, and probably have her make the hotel reservation too, so she can get the reduced rate.
Yeah, I already made mine. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So what do I need to do?
Email Carrie.
I'll send you the information tomorrow.
I'll follow up on the Revitalize Washington. On the training, you know, I did not sign up. I'm returning from Kentucky the week before.
Okay.
Do we want a carpool to Tacoma? Doesn't make sense for everybody to drive by themselves.
We can't. I'm going to have to actually leave early. We have the Commission on Aging now is doing this huge housing speakers, and I feel bad leaving
what
my...
What time does it get over?
I think it's 4.
Okay, because I actually have to be back for a public hearing that night, too.
Do you? Because I got to leave
it. You guys can
So we can leave early together because I have to be back by 6.
Okay, because I got to leave at 2 because I got to be back here around 4 because it starts at 4:30.
Jen, are you sure the registration's closed?
I'm not sure. I'll check tomorrow, but they did have a deadline, so... okay, I will send you the information on Chelan and check on Tacoma.
And Carrie, somebody named Carrie.
Yeah, my assistant.
So that's all with those. The work plan and budget updates, we did get us signed up right before... Memberships.
All the memberships
are now signed up for all the ones that were on that list. The ones we still had highlighted, we kind of had questions about, had to do with the plaques. And I do have information on prices, at least from one of the vendors. That's because DAP has a list of, and it's throughout the states, not only Washington. I think there's only one in Washington that do National Register plaques. So there's, you know, a variety of choices and sizes, and they go from $69 to $281. So depending on what style you choose and the size. So just to kind of keep that in mind when if we want to move forward with those.
Is that something we would decide or the owner of the...
I think you could decide.
If we're buying them, I think we should.
Yeah, okay.
And kind of keep it consistent. Yeah. Choose, you know, one to...
So I missed that discussion. Is it the idea that as we're adding new and then maybe go back like the last couple of years and
yeah, there was the 5 that at least had come on most recently, you know, that especially the courthouse and the poor farm, which
yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to do but us. And maybe the Kiggins, I don't know if he, you know, has the funds to do that. So,
I think
you know.
There is one on the Kiggins, isn't there?
I think.
Was there?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
And then I think is there more?
We did an interpretive.
The Lukey.
The John Pollock.
That's what you think.
No, there was there was a farm, the Meyer Farm. But I don't. There's nowhere. That's not very publicly accessible.
I think you want to put it on places where there's
maybe the Lukey.
The public gets walking by.
So you know, more public buildings, I would say.
Well, but that's that's why I was thinking. Like I brought up the gravesite. I was going to say.
Not so many. Yeah, he's not getting walking by. So I've got that. So if you all want to have more of that conversation, let me know. I can put it on the agenda and we can like look at the designs and you see if you guys want to go that route. So I just wanted to follow up on that.
Or maybe you could get like 2 people to volunteer to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Could do that little subcommittee. The other thing was photography, and I was going to work with Jan and kind of look at what at least our worst photography we have, like probably regular photos that were scanned in, and that's our digital. So some of our probably more significant buildings.
Did Anna get back to you with rates?
No.
Or did I? Oh, well, I probably forgot to ask you.
So so we'll kind of get prices and see maybe how many we could do this year or something, and just get the. I don't think it will be that big of a amount.
No, geez. It was very
so useful. We'll keep everyone in the loop on that. Was there anything else? Did you guys have any questions or wanted to check in on anything about the budget or the work plan we talked about last time?
Since we're on the topic, do we want to just discuss what
Any thoughts on that?
Reminder that money is for education and outreach, so like repairing the organ, I think would be...
Yeah.
Have to be a grant.
Kind of a tough. Yeah. I mean, you could definitely do that.
In terms of membership.
Oh, we joined.
Oh, yeah. We did join them already.
We did already?
What level did we join?
What?
By organization?
Organization. Okay. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
So, to me, I caught on to the annual event that, like, brings a lot of people
in. Yeah, that one.
So, I was like...
So proud of it.
50 hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, and that's an expense, or somehow they're having to pay or do something for that. You know, that'd be a great way to sponsor the hot dogs and ice cream or something.
Or just be a sponsor,
Of the event.
Do we want to...
Yeah, because they really need somebody to tell them how to make money.
They do.
They don't charge... The vendors that come and sell stuff on their property, I'm listening to this going,
I was part of the farmers market, you know, creation and canvas, you know, so I worked extensively as we tried to figure out.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
You know, how you, what the vendor roles are, how to pay, you know, that sort of thing. But you do charge them as part of, you know, your operating
budget. It's $20.
You know?
Right, just to
and
be there.
They will pay it because they would make money there too. So
that was one that I just thought that would be an easy first partnership with them, because they didn't, because I didn't know really what their programming was. It doesn't sound like they are doing any specific exhibits planned for this year or that they have ready, or any you know, city tours or anything that we, like the, you know, museum we do here. So, you know, maybe that was my opinion anyway. I don't know if anyone else picked up, because they had a laundry list of things.
Could we just up our membership?
Yeah, for some reason I thought I remembered it. It was, you know, we had the North Clark County, Two Rivers, and the Clark County.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was more than 25.
Well, we joined all of them.
The comment, is this a little cheap?
And
then we decided, well, we can always
up it, yeah.
That's fine. If you guys, maybe I didn't get that information to Jan and Carrie when they
because I just said to Carrie, join it, whatever the organization level
so
is.
She just went ahead and did it.
Sorry. Yeah, so for sponsoring an event, you know, that it almost sounds to me like, I don't know what the other groups are going to say when they come to us, but it would seem like we might need maybe a subcommittee to help with the event a bit too, maybe as to add a value-added thing, a speaker, or, you know, something to make it more, you know, of our focus, the historic, you know, help that rather than...
I would say...
It sounds like the Park Service is helping them, though, because they have the blacksmith come out and do demo.
That's not through them. That's through the Park Service.
Well, that's the national. Yeah, they said the blacksmith from Fort Vancouver. And then they're having their speaker for the quarter meeting from the McLaughlin House, so that's the National Park Service. So it sounds like they
might have some more.
They've got, but I don't. I'm sure no one's giving them advice on, oh, you should charge your vendors.
Just wondering, you know, things like this, I wonder, you know, a few hours of our professional time, you know, might do wonders for.
Well, even helping them prioritize their wish list. So, as you said, when the grants come around, they know what they want to apply for, and they
focus on some thing to apply for.
I mean, those grant applications are pretty easy for grant application, but if you don't know what you want to do or how much it's going to cost,
I'd like to see more of the outreach approach, because they need the younger generation, they need sort of, you know, he was talking about, I'm scared the 15-year-olds won't know anything about this. He's right. So, I mean, if we do anything, I'd like to have it be a way that sort of captures an outreach program kind of geared towards new people in the process.
I don't know how we do that. What do you think, what do you have in mind for that?
I don't know. Fort Vancouver does a great summer camp sometimes.
Promoting outreach for the Museum and Historical Society, promoting outreach for our organization, or both?
Well, we were talking about them. I like the idea of both, but I've said that from day one, even at the interviews. But I would think if there's a way that we could help them get some of those kids.
If they have a point, you know, if they said, oh, we've got this great plan, but we don't, to get kids here, but we don't have any money. But trying to make them,
they don't have a plan.
They don't have a plan.
And the fact that they don't have a venue to get 10 or 20 people in the museum at once, that's tough.
The space is very squishy.
It is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea of the landscaping to get a stage or a storytelling, which would be, I think, a great idea, but it would be weather dependent.
Right.
You know, it would be limited in terms of how, you know, what time of year you could do it. But, I mean, that to me seems like it would be a great way for them to promote some activities and outreach if they had that kind of a space. And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like compared to restoring a piano or getting a space for that activities like storytelling, it seems like the option B would be.
Alex, do they have any interpretive, anything else? Because he was telling us about that story of this, you know, what's nearby. Do you know if they have anything that's in front of the building that talks about that?
Not in front. It's very, it's pretty low key.
Okay, you know. Okay.
Yeah. Thursday they have that woman coming in talking about Native American woman's perspective on Christopher Columbus. Greta's going and invited me. But I mean, there's, maybe we could pay for the speaking fees of the granddaughter of...
Is that, White but isn't that the Clark County Historic Museum?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying,
oh, okay.
Maybe we could
do
pay,
something similar.
Yes, this. Do something like parallel to that. You know,
do they have the space though for
right.
something?
Right, it doesn't
like
sound
that.
Like
that's
they,
the thing.
Well,
they're pretty
they
charitable.
Don't have a space. They go to the CAM as you know, police station.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and that's tough when you do an event like that away from your venue. You
yeah,
make that
takes
connection.
It away
because you're trying to bring people
exactly.
there, and then you know, open people's eyes to say, oh, we have this in our community and in the basement of the police station.
Well, so maybe it needs to be in the summertime then, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said maybe we could have a subcommittee to help
do something for the
improve that
annual
event. You know, value add it, you know, whatever it is, you know. But I don't want to totally, you know, insert or, you know, I have no idea how they run.
Well, that's why I wonder if we just do the sponsorship at first, establish that relationship this year, mm-hmm. kind of get to know them better, go visit, and maybe assist them as they try to prioritize and kind of, you know, use your expertise to do that. And then next year is enough, you know, could be something more that we could assist them with. Mm-hmm. That's my suggestion, which makes it, you know, kind of simple and easy for all parties, because right now there's no set plan for anything, but at least we can help them with that event.
Yeah, we don't have to act as a commission. I mean, I'm sure they would welcome any of our volunteer activities.
Totally, yeah.
Would a way to promote their efforts and our efforts be to participate as a vendor with an informational...
Yeah, we could definitely be there.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's free.
Right.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that too. It'd be a great place to have some information about the Historic Preservation Program and Stinger Buildings and how you can use the museum as a resource for, you know, finding information and how to go about doing that. So, yeah, I was thinking that too.
Were you volunteering then, Rob?
I slipped
that.
I started wondering if their building is on the Clark County Historic Preservation.
No.
It's not?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? How old is it?
I don't know.
I can't imagine it's a historic structure itself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the carriage house isn't, it's brand new. But
yeah.
The original building.
Right.
I don't know.
I thought it
looks like it's.
Didn't look that.
No, it's.
It looked like a trailer.
Yeah.
Did they say it was a school?
No, I don't think they said. I think they said it was a house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not on the register.
Might not qualify.
Yeah. Okay, so what do y'all think? What do y'all want to do?
Well, I don't think we can save them, but I think we can help them.
Yeah, right.
And I think bumping up our membership levels
okay.
is probably a good thing.
Where do you want to go?
What is it now? Do we know?
I think it's the organization.
I mean, that's what I told Carrie to do, and it's 25.
Yeah. Oh. It seems like 100 might be a
yeah.
Because
nice.
I think it's...
That was my nice feeling.
It was. I have my note.
You
did. Yeah, 100.
Did we do 100?
Well,
that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let me double check because Carrie's got the budget, so she might have looked at it.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
She said 25, but it says 100.
We'll see. Could be miscommunication on my part there. So we can do that.
I put sponsoring the Heritage Days.
Yeah.
In some way.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea because I think they're limited on what they can do with their membership funds, and if we earmark something specifically, then.
Well, they said they make money on Heritage Days, but they'll make more money if they have a sponsor.
Right.
Yeah.
And should we look then at other organizations? I think, I can't remember if it was you, Sarah, brought this up. Because there are other organizations, if we sponsor an event for this organization during the day and time.
Yes. Well, no. I mean,
you're going
to
have a presentation from each of those
yes,
organizations.
Yes, we're inviting all of the museums
yeah.
to come. So next month will be North Clark County. And how I've been approaching them is that, you know, we're trying to build better relationships with the historic entities in the county, and we'd really love to hear what you all are working on this year, and if there's any way we could partner on a project together. Yeah. And that's kind of how I've been introducing them. It got a little, because he had emailed me about the grant because he saw it in someone's newsletter, and then I had it, and then after we met last month, I got back in touch with him. I was like, you know, hey Jim, would you all like to come to one of our meetings, and how about now to just talk about it?
This is really good event.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, sponsoring the event and being at the event seems like the perfect, you know, yeah, outreach.
Right.
What we're trying to do, and mm-hmm. then, you know, if North, if they also have a event that we can help sponsor and we can be at, you know, we're just
depending on how much time, how we're going to allocate, and, you know, how much, what's the pool that we want to dedicate to that, and for for these types of organizations.
Yeah, I don't think we can decide tonight what the amount of money, because we don't know.
I wonder if one of you could approach, sounds like you've been dealing with them, about what they might need on, say, Heritage Day. Is that what we're calling it? What's it called?
Mm-hmm.
Heritage Day?
Mm-hmm.
September 17th.
I mean, I think you could just ask them what a sponsorship for that event would be. And
they'll probably say sponsorship.
Yeah.
They probably will.
I kind of have a feeling they don't know.
I think I would ask them, what would you like to see happen that's not in the budget now, that's something that's, you know, fairly modest? A storyteller, I don't know, face painting, balloons, whatever. I think a storyteller, because you've got your kids coming in, but music, you know, you could have live music, I don't know.
I think you're better with just an event sponsorship,
yeah,
rather than,
yeah,
trying to
getting
target
to the specific,
something.
Yeah.
Specific. Because you don't want to put them in a position where they weren't planning on doing face painting, and it's a whole hassle to organize that, and yet that's what we sponsor.
Well, no, I don't think we should come up with the idea. I think we should ask them,
yeah,
what they want, because, you know, like Alex said, they might not even know what an event sponsorship means.
Right.
Like,
well,
that.
That's so.
Well, he talked about the things that they do, right? So guest speakers are a pretty
right.
regular event. So,
could we do a thing on the Clark County, you know, on just in your property, or, you know, I mean, you guys had that talk on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, no space at the museum, so.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Just hope it doesn't rain when you're standing out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to build something outside, they need to have a little cover over it.
Yeah.
That's part of the remodel that Fort Vancouver just did on their visitor center. Outside space where the kids could wait,
mm-hmm,
out of the rain.
So you all want me,
okay,
to ask?
Just ask. Don't
or
say
do you people. Want to? Do you want to maybe wait till you hear from what the North Clark County Historic Museum is doing and the Clark County here? I mean, how do you want to deal with, you know, what your boundary?
How many of them? Because I wouldn't want to wait too long,
right,
because then you're
getting, yeah. We have scheduled definitely next month. I haven't done, my next one was going to be Katie. And I can't remember.
The fort, I thought you were.
The fort, yes.
Or the Park Service.
Yeah, just to come
check. I mean, I feel like Katie and the fort, I mean, they've got their programs pretty together. And
yeah.
They're not really looking for, yeah.
Well, they're looking
help.
For sponsors.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
They're looking,
yeah,
at sponsors, but they don't need help organizing a program.
Yeah. I mean, I think my experience at Two Rivers is that, you know, it's been staffed by octogenarians who are just, you know,
volunteers.
4,652 hours.
Yeah.
Per year.
Yep.
Per year.
Twice that now.
Okay, so you want to wait till after next month and then kind of make a call, or what would you like?
I think you could call them, you know, as soon as possible and ask them how much they think they spend on the event.
Okay.
Yeah,
and ask them what they would like to see at the event that didn't happen last year.
Okay.
Don't give them any ideas. Just say, is there something special?
What are your goals?
I wonder if you could, in that same phone call, we could just set up a time to go tour it, and then,
yeah,
you might have a better idea of what we're dealing with here.
Okay. Did you guys want to try to pick a date on that, or a day? You want to do a doodle? Oh yeah, I'll do a doodle. A doodle.
Any one of us can.
Doesn't. I have to go there in the next couple of weeks anyway. Just deal with connection.
Right. You're familiar with.
Yeah,
we have, we could just, people could just go, well.
Yeah, I mean, you could go individually. I mean, they invited us as a group. You wanted to kind of go as a commission.
And I feel like if we were to go on an off hour a day, they're not open.
Right.
It would make sense for maybe more than one person to go.
Yes,
at time. But,
yeah.
You know, if
it might be hard to.
If we're going during regular hours, I mean, not very crowded. I don't think it's going to be conflicting. You know, the volunteers are going to be otherwise engaged.
Right. Okay. All right.
And we're members now, so.
Exactly.
It's, yeah. That's true. Well, I'll check back in with you guys on try to coordinate that or not. Okay. That's you.
This is me.
Yep.
So this is just a heads up that for those of you who remember the lovely floor in the Clark County Historic Museum, it's red and black asbestos tile. And so the top of Katie's wish list has been to get rid of that, to get the floor covering replaced. And I was able to convince our facilities guy, who's retiring, as he told me this morning, in 15 days, to make a parting gift of getting the floor replaced in the building. They got a little, I won't say carried away, but I asked for the upstairs. They're going to do the whole building, which means the museum has to close down because it's friable asbestos that they're going to have to abate. And Katie was thinking they're just going to lay it around the display cases. And the facilities guy said, that's stupid. Let's just move the cases and just do the whole thing.
Are they going to take the asbestos up, or are they going to?
They're
going to
take it up. Katie just wanted them to lay it over the top. And again, our facilities guy said, why am I leaving a headache for someone else by just putting it over the top? Plus, she's already done that back room where the lecture was with wood floor, and so that floor's taken care of, and they're going to do the upstairs and most of the downstairs, but not that. There's sort of a space in the southeast corner of the building that's up a couple steps that's like all their stuff jammed in there, and they're not going to do the floor in there. So I checked with DAP, because it's on the state, local, and national register, and it doesn't have to go through a review by the commission because the floor is not specifically noted as a character-defining feature, and actually, I think it's not the original floor. I think it was in the, like, 40s. So this is just sort of a heads-up for you guys that we're going to have new flooring in there.
It didn't seem to be in poor condition.
It's not. It's starting to pop up on Ed, you know, and then when they do the kids programs, they have the kids sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. And so it's starting to pop up at the edges. So anyway.
Reliability is probably not a bad idea to get rid of.
Yeah. And it's really kind of jarring with the rest of the space in terms of the wood, and I mean, it's really old, so.
So they're putting a mausoleum in there or something.
She wanted wood, but I think our facilities guys talked her out of that for ease of maintenance. So it's going to be some kind of, I think, wood look laminate. Some kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't know. They were supposed to bring floor samples by last week. Anyway, Katie's having actually a little meltdown over this because think of that building and all that stuff you have to move out of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they just have their new exhibit that just opened. So I've just said to her, be careful what you wish for.
Did you say that?
I did, because, I mean, if we wait until Tim retires, the next person may say, that's not a priority.
So they'll be shut down for, like, a week?
They're going to be shut down. She's picked June. I'm not sure why. And 2 to 3 weeks.
But she was, he retires in 15 days.
But he's already got, the stuff's already in the works, so. It's hopefully it's far enough along that the next person can't pull the plug on it. But she was trying to convince them they could hang like a plastic curtain down, you know, and do half of it at a time. And I guess the asbestos abatement guy's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about that, but I guess it gets in the air. And
the latest thing we heard was that you have to just cover it because taking it up just creates this, you know, huge amount of problems.
I mean, you know, tenting the building, I've seen that happen to abate.
Oh, I don't. I think they're talking about just the inside, and it's the floor's not really super level, so they're going to, like, try to level things out when they... Anyway, she also was trying to talk them into taking down the wallpaper in the vestibule, but I don't know if she's going to be able to talk them into that. That one seems a lot easier than new flooring.
Well, no wallpaper.
I don't know. I've removed really old wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
It's terrible. And it's up, you know, it's up like two stories. So I said to Sylvie's guy, how do you feel about a bunch of volunteers on ladders taking wallpaper down? And he's like, if you do scaffolding and all the appropriate stuff, I'm okay with it. And I'm just thinking, oh, that'll be... Anyway, so hopefully that's going to be out of there in June, but the museum will be closed for like 3 weeks, and she's trying to work out a deal with the Park Service to move the artifacts down to the, into the Park Service curation facility.
Okay.
So we'll see if that works. Otherwise, I think it's going to be pods.
Oh boy.
Wow.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Okay, the only, or we got the, I just wanted to keep, kind of keep that on the agenda in case someone comes up with something, for a grant application for the CLG grants. Those are due usually in April. So we need, you know, I need to know kind of soon to put anything together.
And you need some lead time in terms of.
Yeah, because you all need to review it and, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
just,
I, there's nothing
we looked
I.
At it. We both looked at it and their cat, based on their categories. I just don't think we have anything.
Yeah, not right now.
Well, the only thing... So I did one last year, but it was too late that I wrote. And that was just for outreach material, because that was one of the things that they had asked for. So that was on the list, and it seemed pretty simple. The other thing that I was thinking, going back to my previous comments about the Day Hilborn archives, which are currently in a basement someplace up in Pullman, right? Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Or, oh, I think it was Mark.
Mark was in.
Right. Yeah. So if we could get that here local.
Bring the collection down, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a room full of his plans. I remember Mark talking about
Who owns them?
They're at the State Archives? Or the or WSU?
I think they were probably given to WSU.
Okay.
But even if they were, they could come to WSU Vancouver. I don't know how they would feel about that. But but WSU Vancouver has expanded its PhD programs, and you can now earn a PhD in anthropology out of the WSU Vancouver campus. So they've kind of expanded the three-campus network and the programs on offer. So I don't think it's unreasonable to see if there's any interest in having those located up here.
So you'd have to, I mean, I would definitely want to need to coordinate with the school before we did anything.
Right.
Yeah, you
whether
have
or not,
to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
that would be part
a short
of the
time
project.
Away.
Yeah.
Thought on who would curate all that? The Munster County,
it would still look
like University or Washington State University, or
if WSU wants to hang on to them, then they would still belong to WSU. They would just be archived here.
Okay.
And anybody who wanted to research them would come here to Vancouver to see them.
Mm. Like at the
so is the project to digitize all those or something?
In terms of digitization or just digiting, well, I don't think they're cataloged or archived or anything. Maybe I was reading too much into what Mark was saying, but it sounded like they're just kind of.
Well, let me check in with Michael Hauser, because he's like the expert, you know, he's Mr. Knows About the Hilborn stuff. So let me see what he knows about it, and maybe I can report back to you guys on what he lets me know, and then we can come up with maybe if there's something that, and I bet he'd have an opinion like, yeah, you all should do that, or, you know, something, yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Isn't there also like a granddaughter, great-granddaughter or something like that in town who has an interest in this? She might, if there is a relative.
Yeah.
I think that's how Mark knew about this, because he was talking about the granddaughter or somebody.
Yeah.
It was a female, I remember that.
So she may have some interest in you know, what the outcome, possible outcomes could be as well. And so it would probably be good to respect that.
Yeah, true.
Okay. They may have, family may have given them to
right, to WCU, yeah. Okay, well, I'll just start with Michael, see what he knows and see what he thinks, if he's got some knowledge about it, and then I'll let you guys know what I find out. Is that a good start, at least? And then if there's something we can pull together this month, we can try. Okay. The other only things that I want to just let you know, John wanted me to pass these out because he has them all ready and done, so this is for April. And then with the community planning annual report, we issued it a couple weeks ago, and since you guys are one of our commissions, just wanted to share it with you. Did you want one?
Looks like
you
have quite a spread in there.
Yeah, you guys are busy. Jeez. I know they're like, Jackie, there's like five.
Yeah.
I'm like that's
one
right.
Page from the Parks Master Plan.
It's
all who controls.
Like 5 pages.
So yeah, we had.
It's great.
Yeah.
So is this mailed to everybody?
We do an annual report, but this is the first year we've done it really kind of up. So yeah, we have them all on our website, but we don't usually make like a bunch of copies. But we made, and I made sure I grabbed enough for you guys, enough for all of our commissions, because I don't think we had been doing a good job at like handing them that, so that they kind of know where what all the things and that community planning does, and all the commissions that we staff and all our projects.
So is this mailed to the community, or do they pick it up somewhere?
We put it on our website, and then we give it to all our commissions and the elected officials. It's kind of like our, this is what we've been doing, you know.
It's funny, ours just came out from community planning this week.
Oh, did it? Yeah, see? So, just those are the extras. I don't know, Sarah, if you wanted, is there anything you wanted to share with us on your, did you go out to the building? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wish I remembered the name of the man who was there from DAP, but it wasn't Michael.
Nick.
Nick, thank you. So Nick was there, and the owners, and I'm not sure if they really, I was hoping that he'd have some more answers, but he didn't really have any, like on the, you know, what are those holes that they filled up, you know, he didn't really have any ready answers on what those were. He was definitely talking a lot about getting them ready to submit a first draft for the National Register. I was a little worried as I'm listening to him talk all about the National Register. I thought maybe they were getting confused.
I think he's trying to help them maybe with federal tax credits.
He is.
Okay, and that's what it needs to happen. And there's like a time crunch. Like the advisory board is, you know, the deadline for that is coming in for to make it all work for them. I think it's got to happen.
Yeah, so he explained
quickly.
All that because I kind of asked that stupid question like, wait a minute, why are you rushing them on this? Right. You know, and it turns out that all of the repairs that they're planning to do to the apartments, they have to have approvals basically before they do the repairs. So they're like the opposite of us, where we give them approval after, you know. But they have to have all the plans approved and everything before they can qualify. Right. Because if they do all the work, then they've pretty much voided the possibility of the tax credits. That's what I understand. And they also have a time frame. He said, interestingly, I don't quite understand this time frame, but he said that the federals, you can get approval for the improvements and you have to just substantially start working on them within a certain time frame, but it doesn't like expire. You can continue like for the next 5 years working on those improvements and they're still qualified. I think that's kind of what he said. So that was interesting. So listening more to him give a lot of feedback on what their future development of the upstairs is going to be interesting. Because at first I thought, why is he being so prescriptive as to how their main hallway should look, or you know how many openings they should have, you know, that sort of thing. And then it kind of came clear that he was helping them, I guess, get as much credit on their improvements as possible from the federal side. So some of those, in case you guys are curious, because I'm just a city planner, not a historic planner, is that kind of the integrity of the building, they would focus on the public areas. So for that public hallway for the apartments. That's why I was telling them if the flooring could stay original, and if the doorways into the apartments, because they salvaged, which is kind of cool. That's the part you guys are like, they salvaged all the kitchen cabinets. He said he was able to pull them off the wall, so he has them all stacked up, and almost all of the fixtures for the bathrooms and the two of the clawfoot tubs in perfect condition that they can reuse. So that's kind of neat, but they're focusing more on the public spaces. And then he gave them, which is kind of took the decision out of the realm. They were here asking if they could leave the walls open and, leave the ceiling open and that sort of thing. What Nick said was no. He said, because he goes, the original, design of these
wouldn't have been that industrial look.
That's a modern thing in a sense. Yeah. So they were finished walls, finished ceilings. So you need to get them to that finished state, because then you're getting back to the more historic feel of and design of this building, even if the layout of the rooms isn't the same. But you need to have finished walls, finished ceilings. Definitely encourage them to keep all the windows. Skylights. They had skylights too, which was kind of cool. So they might have skylights back as some of the units. But they didn't rescue. I mean, there's no skylights. There's just boxes in the room where they used to be. So some of those features they're probably going to have still in the new apartments, which is kind of neat. He did salvage all of the trim too.
Good.
So they should have the trim.
Cool.
Yeah. All the doors. They're really narrow though, so I really don't think that the hallway's gonna have original doors, because I don't see that being something, wanting that. I don't think that's gonna work. But I suggested maybe use that for like closets and stuff throughout, within the apartment. That might still work. Yeah, so I think he's still gonna try to push to keep some part of the apartments having brick.
Yeah.
But just so we all know that that's not really going to be supported
by the state, at least. For the federal credit. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think from an insulation standpoint,
it was really cold up there. To let you all know. Because they had it all, opened up.
Yeah, exposed brick.
To the studs,
One layer of brick.
Yeah, I don't see that being a really smart idea. And that's the other thing Nick was saying. He goes, kind of from a management, efficiency for this building, you probably do want, good insulation. Yeah. So,
okay. Well, thank you for going and taking a look at it.
And then they did want to know, she was looking at more information on that brick. That hint you'd given her led to only wood-framed buildings. That town you suggested she look into. Yeah, so she was hoping maybe had something.
It led to what?
Just all the structures were wood structures, she said, not. She didn't want anything on brick.
A ton of brick up there. Okay.
So that was her. She got to a dead end and was hoping maybe you had something more.
Okay. Great. That is all I have.
All right. If anybody else has something they want to talk about, ask for public comment.
But where's Greta? She's never missed a meeting in like 2 years.
She's volunteering for the Pittock Mansion these days and has another commitment, so she's not going to be.
We did let the contract for the West Barracks renovations, though. Finally, after 3 big tries.
Yeah, nice.
So.
Who got it?
S-E, I think. So. Anyway. So.
I think I saw that.
I guess I'll be the one to make a motion and adjourn. Everybody else feels the same way.
Second.
All right.